Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The Detroit Lions Podcast Post Game Show.
Hey, hi-de-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. Episode 368, the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit and the ultimate post game party. I forgot one part. I guess we'll do it at the end. I'll just throw the music in the Do Nothing Special song for the audio only version. But oh god,
every time we say anything today, and I'd be fine with it because it's just so absolutely applicable.
It hurt us.
Like, this was embarrassing. Like, this was an embarrassment to the sport of football. Like, this is what happens when, like, a D3 team, like, pays a bunch of money and gets an SEC club to show up for a week.
Like, this is what was supposed to happen.
Not one moment. Yeah, like, I didn't, even when the score was still close at halftime at 10 to nothing, like, that was, like, a very obvious, like, okay, so when are the Bengals actually gonna, like, realize that, like, we literally can't cover their receivers? So they should probably stop this ridiculous two tight end crap. Just come out three wide and then we're dead. Like, there's just no chance. We have no hope. You know, like, all hope is gone. The Slipknot album. Like, that's, it's over.
How did they not know? Everybody knew three wide is going to destroy this defense. Everybody knew that. How did they come out with a game plan that was anything different than that?
Zach Taylor is a terrible head coach would be the answer to that question. And then they still spanked us pretty harshly today, which tells you a lot about the state of the organization right now. Like, they came up with the absolute wrong game plan and still were winning 10-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
And then decided to implement the proper game plan and there was no answer.
Spit like, roast and the team.
That's the thing, man. There is no answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if there is, it's not on the team right now, and I don't think they're in a position to go be buyers at the trade deadline. Like, do we want to take on someone else's bad contract for a decent player? Like, and granted, like, if there are multiple years, maybe that's an answer.
Well, let's let's talk about that. We'll talk about the game. We'll do a roundtable discussion with the two of us, so it may be just like a, I don't know.
Anyone's going to call today.
We'll take your calls and a whole lot more. We got a great show. I'm certain of it. It's going to be better than the game you watched. And we got a lot of golf talk coming. I guarantee it. Ash, you ready to go, man?
That is the lowest bar we have ever set.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right. Hey, we're starting off on the right foot with a super chat from Dan. Thank you, Dan. Bench Jared Goff if he's too scared or unwilling to make plays downfield. Let's see what Blah can do. At least he'll take those chances.
Blah can throw interceptions.
At least he'll take those chances. Tell me another. Thanks to the super chat, Dan. We are definitely going to go into the Jared Goff story today.
100%.
What else is there out there for this team, man? Gosh. Okay. I got to talk about St. Jude first, really quick. Just let me get this out there. StJude.org/DLP. We've got a match today during the show for the first $250 we raised towards St. Jude. We will get 250 matched, so we can get $500 pretty quick there for the kids. So if you find it in your heart,
let's have something good come from today.
If you find it in your heart and you can find it in your wallet, go to StJude.org/DLP and help those kids out. Appreciate it. Again, there's Flounder with the super chat. Matching 250 today. Let's make it good. All right. I got to write down the number here, 1879. That means I'm going to do math. Oh, well. Okay. I will count it up when we get in. When we get there. I'll let you guys know. StJude.org/DLP. It's tax deductible, too. All tax deductible. All right. Jared Goff, superhero. Obviously, pro bowler. All pro.
You're talking like Aquaman, right?
His eyes are too close together.
That's 2 weeks in a row of just nothing.
I was like, they talk about, animals, the more their eyes are on the side of their head, the more they're prey versus the forward-looking eyes are those of a predator. And if you kind of carry that forward, as close as his eyes are together, you would think he would be the ultimate predator out there. But maybe he's got like walleye vision or something because he can't see wide open receivers.
Well, he's just so laser focused in because of that. Like, it's just, it's right here. So when DeAndre Swift is absolutely wide open to the point where, like, I could probably make that throw. And I say that as a guy who, like, legitimately my shoulder is garbage. If I threw a ball 30 yards, and I put that on camera, it would be one of those, like, legendary epic laughter things, like, just forever. I would be on the internet. I'd be the new Star Wars kid.
Let's talk about that. maybe at 20 grand we can do that. Ash throws the football.
We hit 50, there will be me trying to throw a football 50 yards, man. And we'll see how well that goes.
All right. So I wanted to go back. We briefly were chatting before the show, and I was so, so happy that they showed the replay and called out DeAndre Swift being open. What they didn't say was you had three wideouts bunched on the right. You had a wideout on the left, one wideout on the left, and Swift slid over to the right with a bunch of receivers. So you had four, basically, receivers on the right side of the line. Goff gets pressure, and he runs to the left. Okay, error numero uno. You've now limited yourself to a single potential target, which you know is going to be covered. You've got no action to help your person get open over there. But that's the way you go. Because I don't know, because then you look to the right and you say, wow, had Goff maybe just scanned his receivers, I don't know why he never seemed to look to the right, but there's DeAndre Swift wide open. Could be maybe a touchdown. I don't know what the angles were for some of the defenders on the field. I mean, but he had a lot of green in front of him for sure. And that was definitely minimum 25 yards.
Moose was pretty sure that was going to the house. I believe he specifically said that was going to the house if Jared Goff even saw that it was there, but he did not. And in this case, I can't throw up a string of screenshots and GIFs that tell you why it would be physically impossible for him to make that play, unlike the Quintez Cephas wide open in the middle of the field one, where I'm still to this day, I don't want him making that throw because that's just a lazy lob up the middle of the field. But this one, like, there's nothing positive happening at the quarterback. Like, nothing.
There's, you know, no depth.
It's 2 weeks in a row without a touchdown pass.
Yeah. There's no depth. You know?
And when he was, go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry. There's no depth. There's nothing to turn to.
No, that's exactly it. Like, if you put one of our backup quarterbacks in, it would be worse than this.
Yeah.
Like, that is where we're at, is we do not have a plan for the present and we do not have a plan for the future.
And
which is
hope.
Depressing. But I said at the time when this trade was made that we got extra picks for taking Jared Goff from the Rams. And I do still believe that. Like, there was always a possibility that he was going to recover and something good was going to come of this. And, you know, maybe he turns back into 2018 guy, but that doesn't happen very often in the NFL. Like, it's pretty hard to come up with guys who got traded for not being good who turned out to be good.
And I want to, I mean,
that just isn't a thing.
What happened to him? You know what I mean? I mean, he did a lot. He played well. I mean, he was absolutely a serviceable quarterback.
I think the Pro Bowl thing was a product of being the quarterback on a very good team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In a very large metropolitan area, which, like, LA loves winners. You know what I mean? If you're in that market and you're winning games, you're the most popular human being on earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just how it's always going to be. And as far as the Pro Bowl goes, that's how you get into the Pro Bowl, is being on a winning team in a major market. That just guarantees it. Like, all those years when you see, like, the entire Dallas Cowboys offensive line, were those the five best offensive linemen in the world? Obviously not. You know? Or if they went to the Super Bowl, it was the entire 49ers offense was there. You know? Like, they're just... that's the way this goes. But yeah, like,
I'd even like
2018 tape isn't this guy.
I'd even like to say,
not in any way.
There's always next week, right? Because, and you could, you know, any other time or any other situation, you could say, hey, the Rams are so good, they're going to be looking past the Lions. This is a great chance. Not McVay. McVay wants the curb stomped off. I guarantee it. I don't think. Yeah. I think Stafford's just going to go and win. It's going to be a game for him. He doesn't have any ill will or animosity. He's just going to go out and win. I really believe that. But McVay wants to curb stomp Goff. McVay hates Jared Goff and wants to make sure that he rubs everybody's face in it that he can. That's just the kind of person he is. I really don't. I'm not a fan of McVay, but he's winning, so whatever.
And the only solace we can take out of this is that you know that goes the other way. He'll never say it. Like, Jared Goff is the most milquetoast interview of milquetoast interviews. But you know that in there, at least I hope that that's in there. Because if that's not in there, then that kid's career is over. You know what I mean? Like, if you can't even be mad that they gave up on you and traded you in a year where you quarterbacked them to the NFC Championship game, they decided you weren't the guy anymore. You know, like, if that doesn't light a fire in you that makes, like, we should see next week the best Jared Goff that has ever Jared Goffed. And if we don't, then you know what? If we're riding to 0-17, let's ride it on David Blough. And let's get as much of this dead cap out of the way as we can. And let's let Jared Goff go backup quarterback somebody else or just get out. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to happen. Like, for a million reasons, that is not going to happen. But, like, it just, something has to be better than this. And, like, yes, the receivers suck. The receivers are the worst receivers in the NFL. Like, that's not even questionable.
No, no. We don't have, I think our best.
He's missing the same throws. Like, like, how many times do we have to watch him throw the turkey hole shot 3 yards out of bounds and have the receiver make a spectacular catch and put his body on the line exactly as he would if it were a throw in bounds and come up with an awesome, like, Kadarius Hodge in the fourth quarter today. Like, he laid out for one and made an amazing play that doesn't matter. And, you know, like, he's going to get kudos for that in the receiver room and probably get some extra playing time for having been the guy who goes up and gets that ball. But that ball was 4 yards out of bounds. Like, there's no excuse for that. And, like, how many times do we watch him throw a 5 yard out and miss that? Because yes, that one on fourth down with Amon-Ra St. Brown was St. Brown's fault. Yeah. The other 17 this year have not been Amon-Ra St. Brown's fault.
I have to tell you.
And that's a distinction we have to make, man.
Thunder, I can't say his name. Thunder C. Smith in the chat said the top comment in the post-game thread killed him. I have to read it because it is absolutely right on point. Okay, here it is. I had more fun watching Schindler's List than this absolute abortion of a game.
Wow.
I don't know if that's...
Yeah.
I mean, it was a good movie. It was sad, but it was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
This wasn't a good movie even today.
The best part of this game for me was when my internet kicked out in the middle of the third quarter and I didn't watch about 5 minutes of the game. That was the best part.
Oh, man.
That's where we're at. And something, and look, also, like, I understand that this team will play to win until that very last second, but, like, those onside kicks were completely unnecessary. And calling those timeouts at the end of the game was just increasing the chance that somebody gets injured. Like, there's no reason for that.
And the going for it on fourth down at your, what were we at, like our 29, something like that. Yeah. That was, hey, we got it. Great. Not a good call.
Make it the right decision.
It's desperation.
Never confuse result with process.
Yeah. Yeah. That was. So here we are, Lions fans in a familiar place.
Do you want them to be desperate when they're desperate, or do you want them to just take it? Like, this is the other side of that initial press conference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not the guy who's just like, well, we're down 30. I guess we'll just start punting on third down, basically. Just run little, you know, we'll run out the clock too. We'll play this game. That's very clearly not who he is. But at the end, if I was the Bengals, I probably would have thrown a couple deep shots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. Just as all right, you want to lose by 50? Let's do that then.
I just caught a big whiff of Canada there when you're talking.
It's when I get worked up, it comes out a little bit more.
It smells good. It's refreshing. Tell you what, let's take some calls. We got caller on the line right now. Hey, caller, what's your name? How much have you had to drink? Oh, wait.
Hey, Dylan. None. Not really a drinker. Okay. Probably like a case and a drinker, but
okay.
Yeah.
You poor man.
Yeah. Good to be here with you guys, but Yeah, man. I was just thinking, like, after today's game, only 17 is a real, real possibility. I mean, it's something that, you know, you don't want to think about, but you got to come to terms because, I mean, Jared Goff, it's not as far as saying you don't got a lot of talent and his receivers that he's throwing to and, you know, Cephas getting hurt and everything, but, I mean, guys, you have to start thinking about this. Like, this could actually happen, and especially with the Jazz getting their win over Miami today on Monday, it's a real possibility. So, I mean, what do you guys think? You think, like, there's any chance? Because, I mean, I just don't see it. It's like, yeah, there's been some close calls with Baltimore and Minnesota, but it's like the defense, you cannot ask the defense to hold a team to, you know, 20 points or less to give us a shot. Like, that's very hard, especially the defense that we have with the lack of talent it got. So it's like,
I would say that our defense, I think, held up amazingly well for the amount of time that they were on the field, for the lack of support that they got from the offense. I'm surprised the score was actually that low, to be honest. I mean, you would blink and the Bengals would have the ball again. It was incredible. I have to look up what the time of possession was, but I have no qualms about the defense. Could it be better? Yeah, for sure. They could be better. But man, the defense did them, or the offense did them, absolutely no favor. So I am birthing Goff's face out of my backside right now. This offense is anemic. And I mean, look, yep, you have no wide receivers. Sure. They're nah, you know, that's hard. Nah. That's hard. It's hard when you don't have wide receivers, but you don't have a quarterback either. And I say right now, would we be better with Matthew Stafford? This is kind of like my litmus test right now. Would we be better? Well, yeah, we'd be better. Would we have won a game? Well, we had those couple close games, maybe, right? But I don't know how much he elevates this crew. I think we're bad in a whole number of spots. And it's, to your 1-17 thing, I'll tell you, there's four games where we have potential, I think, a realistic potential. The Eagles game, and we got that at home, so that we got that on our side. The Steelers game, that's in Pittsburgh, but they're not that great. And then you got the Bears and Vikings at home. And I think the Bears, we can play better than we did the first game. And the Vikings, we've shown that we could play them really close. And both of those were away. So I think those are the four games to watch for your win. I'm not saying they're going to win all four, but I think we can pull one or two out of there.
Yeah, this is one of those cases where the under in Vegas was free money before the season started.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're just lower. They just kept lowering it until some people started betting the over and then left it there. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, that's and set the odds so bad that the obvious one doesn't pay anything. But yeah, like, as far as that goes, like, how long can the answer be we don't have any answer? Like, is that acceptable for 17 games? And if we do actually lose 17 games and that was intentional, is that okay? You know what I mean? Like, we've had one and done groups before, but if that isn't what they told Sheila was going to happen, you know what I mean? Like, if they looked her in the face before this season started and said, we think we got 6 wins out of this and it turns out to be 0, like, how long is this regime going to go? You know what I mean? Like,
Three years.
Yeah, most likely. But the answer has to be something other than we don't have an answer. You know what I mean? Like, it was just unfair today to put covering Jamar Chase on Jerry. Like, you can't, that can't be your answer.
But what is the answer?
That's what I'm saying. Like, there is not one on the roster right now. So, like, this is not a team that should be a buyer of short-term contracts.
No.
But, like, for example, that CJ Henderson being available thing, that's a problem we have, and it's a problem we have going forward, and that was a solution to it. And what they paid for that, that's like, why were we not in on something like that? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like Jeff Okuda and CJ Henderson as our starting corners next year puts a shine on my outlook for things. More than having that fourth round pick does. Like, woo, you know, like maybe we'll get another slot receiver so we can have eight of them on the team at once.
Oh man.
Like, you know what I mean? Like at some point they got to do something. Like there are players who are not playing right now. Golden Tate is on the bench and like, he's not great, but he's better than what we have.
He's on.
And at a certain point, you can't look these players in the face and say, we are giving you an opportunity to win. Because they know today they know they do not. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like this is as bad as they can be, but they've been as good as they can be twice and still lost those games too.
We just need worse competition. That'll fix it.
Yeah.
A relegation.
Yeah,
that's exactly.
Ridiculous sign. I really wish that the Lions would have considered taking the Panthers pick instead of going to the Rams. It may not have been the best for Stafford, maybe, because, you know, Panthers are pretty good. But if we would have gotten the 8th pick and we had a 7th pick, we could have got Justin Fields, Anthony Mayfield. Now, maybe some teams move up because they said, oh, yeah, they just want to take a quarterback. But I don't know. I just feel like I would have been better with that scenario than the current scenario that we have. Like, now we are stuck with Jared Goff's contract, and now we have to deal with him for, you guys said, maybe another year. And then, you know, it's like, literally with Justin Fields, and now he got an issue, like, that's like, okay, yeah, he's going to have a rough couple of years because, you know, of all the lack of talent that you have, but, you know, at least we have him, and then we can just, you know, just go from there.
Yeah. What
do you guys think about that? That's the scenario.
The thing is, like, this year, this sucks more. In 2024, having had those extra first-round picks will be better. Assuming that they don't
and
draft horrible players with them. Like, if that makes any sense, like, yes, for this year, the Panthers deal would have been better because Teddy Bridgewater is a better quarterback than Jared Goff.
I'll also say on the Justin Fields thing, one of the, you got to think back to when this was happening, when Stafford was on his way and said he needed to leave, and the line, it's all under the, you know, under the code of secrecy. The Lions can't know at that point that Fields is dropping to them. Nobody knew. I mean, everyone was surprised it even made it as far as the Lions in the draft, and then he fell, you know, down to what,
12th. The draft at that point.
Yeah, yeah. There's no way the Lions are thinking they're getting Justin Fields if you think about when this deal was made and what and the knowledge they had at the time. Can you imagine if we traded away Stafford and wound up like who? Right. Who
at
else
that
is
point, Mac Jones is the person that would have likely been the, like, with this guy will definitely be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want it.
No,
I'm out.
Yeah. And then you put whoever that is, even if you did get Justin, you put them on this team. I don't think Justin Fields this year is better than Jared Goff with this team. I just don't. He may well be, but this is just not a way that you get your player developed with talent this poor. Again, the famous 4th-and-1 against Chicago with Amon-Ra, right? Guys that aren't doing their routes quite right. You can't trust him. You can't trust the timing. Herman said on Monday he absolutely has no trust in his receivers. You can see it in Goff. How do you grow and develop a quarterback throwing to that kind of talent? You really, really can't. And you could. I think, you know, I still stand by the position that I think we would have wrecked Justin Fields if we got him this year on this team. So you don't know that you can get him when you make the deal, so you make the best deal you can. I think you're absolutely right, Ash, about 2024. We're going to feel pretty good about the Jared Goff deal, but it's between now and then. It's a tough road, man. It's a tough road.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if this is what Goff gives all year, the Lions can get out from under him. They save $1 million by cutting him in cap space. You know what I mean? And that is a big, nasty, unfortunate cap hit, but it doesn't stop them from drafting a guy this year. Like, if they decide Corral's the guy, then away we go, you know?
Yeah.
or whichever of the three that appear to probably be getting drafted in the first round at this point.
And the problem
whichever of those, right?
You're forced into pulling a quarterback in a year when they're not you know, as premier as it would be, yeah. which feels so Lions, of course. But then how long are you – that's your guy. I mean, that's Campbell's guy, right? You ride him for 3 years. If this team isn't turned around, they're betting their careers as coaches in front office on mm-hmm. the quarterback that they draft. Do you get – I mean, is your guy there? He better be if you're going to draft him. If not, you have to tell Sheila, Sheila, you're beautiful for 70, but you're going to have to wait another year for a quarterback.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't
like, man, that would be a rough conversation right now.
Oh, imagine the
players. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. And imagine the players. Imagine the coaches. Yep. Imagine the fans. I mean, this is an untenable situation.
Could you sign a wide receiver right now? Like, if you're Robinson, say, coming out of Chicago, you know, they're not going to franchise him again because it would just be way too much money.
Right.
Do you come anywhere near the Detroit Lions, even with the hometown factor, even with all of the potential reasons? Like, if that is your quarterback right now, how many years did he have Blake Bortles and then Mitch Trubisky? And now, like, finally Justin Fields is there looking like maybe he's a guy? Like, or do you just take whatever, like, the Bucks don't throw it Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Go on for a ring. Like, that guy's made top tier wide receiver money since the day he came into the league, basically. So, you know, and just things like that. Like, this is not something that you can sell in the off season. What's happening right now. You know what I mean? Like, they have to figure out something, whether that's free agents that aren't currently playing, and there are a few of them out there, or guys who are on practice squads that had like high draft pedigrees, which like they didn't turn out. You know what I mean? Like, Laquan Treadwell is not good.
Yeah.
You know, we are 99% sure of that, but is Laquan Treadwell a better option than Kendarrell Hodge?
Likely.
Maybe.
Likely.
Like, not worse, probably not worse.
Yeah.
And I mean that as no disrespect to Hodge specifically, because like I said, that guy on that particular play in the fourth quarter made a Kenny Galladay-esque catch. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it was just 3 yards out of bounds because of no fault of his.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, you can't sell this level of failure to anybody for anything other than a giant pile of money, and giant pile of money free agents are not the free agents you want to sign. You want to sign the, I am getting a better opportunity than I could get where I'm at right now free agents, like the Golden Tate when he came here, like the Marvin Jones when he came here, like the Glover Quinn when he came, you know what I mean? Like, that's the person you need to get. But this isn't a better opportunity for anybody right now.
It could be a better atmosphere to play in. I think that's what you have to sell. That's what you have to sell right now. Hey, caller, thanks a lot for calling, man. We're gonna get back to open the lines up and get some other folks in. All right, bro.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks, guys.
All right.
Take care.
Yeah, you too, man. Thanks. All right, I a lot more power to him, man, for not drinking.
I don't feel like I'm selling hope today.
Well, let's see. You are in one way. First, I got to get Jeffrey and Tina. And Tina. I nodded off and had a dream that our QB only completed one pass beyond a third of a yard. I just woke up. Can someone tell me what happened? Oh, sweet soul sister. And then also from Jamie, Ash, you've been challenged to hashtag pies for kids.
All right. I don't have one on me, but post game next week.
All right.
It'll happen live, and then I'll do the rest of the show with pie on my face.
Awesome.
Or no, there is no post game next week.
No, I'll be at the LA game. I want to sell my ticket.
Well, maybe you can just release that as the post game show, as me going like, I'm a Lions fan.
That's what we really need for that.
Yeah, just have it preloaded, do the whole windup. It'll be great. So that the six people who watch this will be in on the joke, and everyone else will be like, what was that?
So really quick, do want to talk about that. StJude.org/DLP, raising money for St. Jude. Christmas for the kids, helping some sick kids out. I got to tell you guys something. Riz has committed and will be committed. When we get to the $25,000 mark, he will don a tutu live on camera. So we'll see that. Now, we also had something pop up on Friday with the show with Tony, and we're calling it the Fat Boy 40. Start with Rich Eisen wanting to do doing the 40-yarder, and we're thinking, you know, what about, you know, I don't even remember how it started. It was someone in the chat said, hey, we should do the Fat Boy 40, where fat guys run the 40-yard dash, and we time them, and whoever, you know, is the fastest, we'll get him a prize of some sort. And I think we got a donated prize. I actually have some Ben and Jerry's Ben and Jerry's gift card. So what better for a fat boy than a some chunky yep. monkey after a 40-yarder?
I'm gonna run it now.
Now I thought about it. If we get to 30K, I will do a fully documented Fat Guy 40. You guys can see me do it. It will be comedic and funny if we get to that 30K mark. So there you go. Risden has got the 2-2 at 25. We'll do the Fat Guy 40 at 30. And ahead of that, we'll have all kinds of other incentives. We're going to build the incentives based on where we are when we get there. That way, you know, we can work those up. But we got a lot of good stuff. So Fat Boy 40, go out, do a video of you running the 40 and send the video in social media at DET Lions Podcast on Twitter or Chris at DetroitLionsPodcast.com. You can send it to me email. And let's get that out there. Hashtag Fatboy40. And we'll have some fun with it. That'll be good. It'll be a good way to raise some money for St. Jude. StJude.org/DLP. $10 entry fee if you do the Fatboy40, though. And the entry fee is at that StJude.org/DLP. It's a donation straight to St. Jude, and then you can win your prize. We want to, you know, it's all got to be for raising money, so we got to do something to get that money in there. All right.
Now, a few years ago, I ran one for the combine in my like full work overalls and work boots with a hard hat and my gloves and a gas mask on. They didn't use it for whatever reason, but yeah, I was a little chapped about that.
I was thinking, you know, I'll do the whole workup, the whole pre-routine, get ready. I was explaining it to my son. I'm like, yeah, we'll do, you know, lacing up the shoes. I said, oh man, it'd be way better if I had like Velcro shoes.
No, what would be better is if you had regular shoes and had trouble with it, and then you had Velcro shoes.
You're going to help
the Rocky
with this
team, of course. Absolutely.
Okay, so that's coming up. St. Jude 24-hour stream is happening this year, D-Wolf 87, on November 5th at 9 a.m. It starts, and it goes through November 6th. Riz and I, Ash will stop by, Tony's going to stop by.
3 to 5 a.m.
Lions have committed a coach and player to us, and possibly two players. Ooh. We've got the NFLPA working on two players for us right now. We've got our guy Jerry we're working on right now, if he could get free. There's some other folks we're working on as well. It's going to be the biggest, as we love to do. It's going to be the biggest one yet. So good stuff coming. Really excited about that show this year. It's a lot of fun. I mean, we did it last year. You're just exhausted, right? But you're running on adrenaline. You get done. We shut it down. And then I sat there and talked with Justin Rogers for like a half an hour afterward. I'm like exhausted. But I'm like, so you just like, we were just talking. It was hilarious, but it was hard to go to bed. Right. All right. Give us a call, 248-782-8384, 248-782-8384. We'll talk about Jared Goff. We'll talk about the Lions. Where do we go from here? We have a great guest in Mark Schofield coming on Wednesday to talk about the draft.
That's gonna be good.
What quarterback should we, if we should, could we? What? How does that look? What does that go? That's coming on Wednesday's show with Riz. Mark Schofield, really good stuff from him. So he's from DraftWire. Really smart guy. Really smart guy. I don't know why he's hanging out with knuckleheads like us.
Guys who does not just say things to get a rise out of people, but he says things because he says things people don't want to hear a lot of the time.
Yep.
Like, he's probably going to come on and be like, Jared Goff sucks. I think we can conclusively say that right now. So if you can't, for some reason, can't download the Wednesday show, that's probably going to be what it's about.
Well, yeah, I'm officially, after that, like I said, that Swift play, that one, I am officially out on Jared Goff. There's enough data. I mean, the data set was getting pretty big on him, but that absolute miss on a wide, and Darren Fells too, wide open crossing miss. He seems to miss open crossing patterns all the time. That's all he threw in L.A. It seems like. I mean, how does he miss these? I just don't understand how he can't see them all of a sudden.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Like, honestly, I don't know what's going on, because like Jared Goff was not this bad like in the last 2 years. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like this wasn't what he was. Like, of all of the things I expected, like as potential outcomes, legitimately being the 31st best starting quarterback in the NFL was not something. Like, I was like, okay, yeah, that's clickbait bullshit. Okay, right. Yeah, you're just going, trying to get people, a rise out of people, yada, yada, yada. But that's the last 2 weeks, that's what we've got.
Yeah.
You know, like, then there's no sugarcoating it. There's no, like, yes, the receivers suck. Also, Jared Goff sucks right now. And the offensive line isn't there. So the running game isn't there to support him. But that's when your quarterback needs to step up and play better and elevate his game and get a rise out of the players that are there and have maybe discussions with the offensive coordinator about because I'm not taking all of this off of Lynn either, to be perfectly blunt.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. So keep
like, preach. Yeah, that's it's preach. how often do we have to watch the same thing fail? Is what I want to say. Yes, you do not have faith that your receivers are going to get open downfield. Okay. Scheme them open because good offensive coordinators do that, where the receiver doesn't have to run a perfect route every single time and can still somehow manage to be uncovered because of a pick early in the route or something of that nature. There are ways to work around not having elite talent at skill positions, and we are not doing any of those things. We're throwing a 2-yard ball and saying, go get me 12 to a guy that shouldn't probably be in the league sometimes.
I just had a mini stroke, Ash. Here's you said scheme him open, and it all just came flooding back to the Swift play. He did scheme him open, and we went the wrong way. And then my brain's just rushing, and I'm sitting here thinking, every play where this happens, it's somebody effed it up. Every single play, it's either the receiver he rounded his route and didn't run it out. It's Lynn didn't scheme his people open, called a shite play, a bunch formation, tight end screen. What are you doing? I mean, let's create a whole bunch of traffic and then throw in the middle of it and see how we do. Every time.
With TJ Hawkinson, who's not that guy.
No.
If you wanted that guy, you should have drafted Noah Fant in that draft because he is that guy. He is the guy with 4-4 something speed and
And Goff threw the ball perfect there. Hawkinson caught it perfect. It was a shite play call. Hey, we got a great play call. We got the four guys bunch. Goff runs left. He misses the open guy. He not even misses it. Doesn't even see him. Doesn't even throw to him, right? He throws it out of bounds instead. You got receivers. It's every play somebody is effing up. And it's not always the same. And so, this is where we can say, Goff is garbage. Great. Put in Matthew Stafford. You still got Lynn effing up 1/3 of the time. You've got your receivers effing up 1/3 of the time. So you got rid of 1/3 of the errors, I guess, by replacing corner. That still doesn't win games. This is a mess, man.
Yeah, but I also think the offseason would have been treated a little bit differently if it wasn't for the Stafford thing. I don't think they would have gone in with this receiver group if Matthew Stafford had stayed.
Agreed.
Tells you everything you need to know about what Brad Holmes actually thinks about Jared Goff. And that just hit me right now. There is no effing way anyone would have done this to Matthew Stafford, and they did it to Jared Goff.
Yeah.
They gave him some guaranteed money, but that wasn't to give him a feeling of security. He didn't get extra money. He just got some of his salary from this year early, so that they could sign other players. That's all that was. So that they could sign their draft picks after all of the massive dead cap hits from cleaning up the roster. That's the only reason that extension happened. Because if it was because they wanted to commit long-term to Jared Goff, we would have gotten more receivers. It wouldn't have been, hopefully Breshad Perriman can become a wide receiver too. Because
I wish we still had him on the roster. I honestly do.
At least he'd be, at least he could take a safety off. Yeah. You know what I mean? And maybe free up Hawkinson. Because nobody cares if Trinity Benson is running wide open by himself down the field. He's Trinity effing Benson.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Whereas Perriman's had a 680-yard receiving season in the league. We're playing with guys who weren't even elite college level players as our starting wide receivers at this point. But you can't lose them all.
Are the cats jumping in the background?
Because you can't.
I hear them.
You can't establish a foundation. Yeah, you were strobing in the background.
Did you see the cats? They're jumping around on the walls.
I missed it. I'm too frustrated to notice.
Go ahead, sorry. I heard the big gung behind me.
Yeah, you can't. This can't keep happening. It just can't, because that doesn't establish the culture that you're working so hard on, because eventually they are going to stop listening because it's not working. So, and like, you have to do something to give your team a chance. So, and bringing in a new wide receiver five is not that.
What's, you know, Flounder says, and if you can, you know, if you and I can see that, Ash, don't you think Goff sees it too? And that might be contributing to why he looks so bad out there.
Well, yeah, because it, like, we've all had jobs when we didn't want to go. You know what I mean? Oh, but God, because like I've been promoted to spots I didn't deserve on numerous occasions at various companies because I talk like this and I sound like I know what I'm saying, even when I don't. That it's just that I wear glasses and a deep voice. You know what I mean? People think I'm smart automatically. Like, it, sometimes I back that up, don't but not every
secret.
Time.
Don't give away the secret, man.
It's this and this. That's win. Also, probably a little bit of the, you know, the color of that. But anyway, just societally, you know, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that there is a bias inherent in people that leans towards certain things being seen as authoritative. Anyway, let's get back on the rails here. As opposed to talking about systemic racism as a reason that I've had good things happen in my life. But anyway, what I'm saying, like, the point of what I'm getting at is at a certain point, like, why would he put himself at risk and stay in and take the hit? Because like, chances are they're paying him next year anyway.
Yeah, he's got
and
a ton
if
guaranteed.
He feels like he is getting hung out to dry, for example, in the Dan Campbell post-game press conference that is happening right now, where he is probably talking about how much Jared Goff sucks without actually saying Jared Goff sucks,
yep.
Which he has done for the last couple of weeks. How many times do you hear that before you know what? F you. Like, sit, like, why are you doing that?
Yeah. You know? I know Goff genuinely looks frustrated out there, though. And that's one of the things... I think,
well, like on the play at the end,
if you're
like when he had 8 seconds to throw the ball into the end zone and he's just looking and looking and looking and looking and nobody gets open for 8 freaking seconds. Well, no, he was looking around the field.
I know.
Like, that's the thing. On that one, he had the time. He looked at every single one of his guys and like they couldn't beat the coverage. So he just threw it to the fans. He's like, "Ah, I'll give you one good thing today. Here, catch a ball."
Yeah, no, that's
he can't run it in.
I think that's why
in the offseason I was saying a lot that a guy like Tyrod Taylor probably would have been a better choice as a quarterback because, like, if everything sucks,
he'll run.
Still an outside chance he's going to get you 10 yards on the ground.
Yep, I think if I think about it, you know, you talk about, have you had that terrible job? I've had that. It's the job I left to come to my job today. It was the worst boss I've ever had, the worst job. I mean, not the worst job. I've had really, really hard jobs that were bad jobs, but I've had great leaders at times in there. But this last one was just, I hated work every day. But, you know, I'm a competitive guy. And one of the things I know you're going to have great bosses. I know you're going to have terrible bosses. In small numbers of each, and you have a whole bunch of mediocre ones. And all I do is when I'm in the bad boss world, I outgrind them. I work harder. I work longer. I work faster. I work whatever. I just grind because I know I'm going to beat them. I'm going to outlast them, and I'm just going to go. And I feel like that's Goff as a competitor. And that's why you saw the frustration on his face today after, you know, on the sidelines throughout the game with how things were going. He's not giving up. And to your super chat there, Flounder, I don't think Goff has given up even though other people have. I think Goff is trying to prove that he has what it takes to make it work, and he's just frustrated at every turn, whether it's him messing up or the play calling stinks or the wide receivers don't know what they're doing or whatever.
Well, because that's the thing, too, is Jared Goff could be playing perfectly, and the wide receiver that's open is still only 3 yards downfield.
Right.
You know, then, like, do you want Jared Goff throwing into coverage? No.
And the, like, 8 second play. Blunt,
like, that's not him. He's not that guy. That's not his game. He doesn't have the arm to do that. So he is working within himself, too.
Yep.
Which is good because otherwise, like, he would have 10 picks and also all of the fumbles. And, you know, like, it could be so much worse than it is because, like, he's not a legitimately awful skill set to have at the position.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
He just requires things we don't have to be successful.
Yep. And so let's get to caller. Caller, what's your name? How much you had to drink?
What's going on, man? This is Q.
Hey.
I just left the game.
Q, I'm sorry, brother. Man,
I was sitting next to these Bengals fans because clearly at this point, season ticket holders are selling their seats.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the coolest guys ever, though. Like, we had, it was a good time, man. But I don't know. I'm over. You ready for L.A.?
I kind of want to sell my ticket, man. Really? Man. This one hurt.
I had a thought during the game. Like, I wish game tickets were like flights. You could just reschedule it for later day.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember, gosh, what was it? It was 2019 when the team was ripping on season ticket holders, telling them that if you sold your tickets, you're going to lose your seats.
Yep.
That was about the worst timing to pull that shit, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's crazy, man. Like, but you know what I keep telling myself? You inspire me. I always think sunk cost. It's a sunk cost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Man, I could do everything for all these tickets and flights I already purchased, you know?
Yeah. What about next year, though? What about next year? You going to invest?
Man. Oh, yeah. I'm locked in, man. I don't know. I'm just locked in. I don't know. But golf does have to go. Like, I do think that. Like, even if, I mean, I understand he'll probably be on the roster next year, but we need to bring in somebody else. Like, I'm sitting here watching, like, when he threw the ball away on fourth down, I'm watching DeAndre Swift be wide open and him turn away and run away from Swift.
Yeah.
It's just bad. I'm watching how in garbage time we have two of our best players, Hockenson and Swift, out there taking basically just shots. Because he's just running them into tackles and running them into danger like Phillip Rivers. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Why are they on the field?
Yeah. You know? At some point, why didn't they bring in when it was clear that we weren't going to win a game? Why don't you bring in David Blau?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And the kick returner in Gwib UK. Like, he had some decent runs in the preseason. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, let him take those shots.
Yeah.
Who's our third tight end? I don't even actually off the top of my head know the name, if there is one. Maybe Jason Kabinda. I think actually is the guy playing like 30 reps right now. Maybe just let him take that shot instead of Hockenson. You know, like, let's not mortgage the franchise when we're down almost 40 points.
So here's kind of where I'm at on the quarterback thing. I know we're going to go further into this on Wednesday with Mark Schofield and from DraftWire and Riz. But yes, Goff isn't the guy. Goff is probably a good guy to help do a little mentorship for a young quarterback. So you see your guy this year, you draft him. But here's where I want to give people just the cautionary tale, right? Because this is not a prime year. I wouldn't be surprised if they drafted another one the year after. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, you may watch the Lions draft quarterbacks 2 years in a row in the first round. Yeah. Don't freak out. They're just taking their shot this year with whatever they can get. I think that's how it's going to wind up playing out, because I don't know that they're going to get what they want. I hope they do. I hope this year they get the quarterback and he's absolutely the guy, and next year we say, holy cow, this is the guy. But I just don't see that happening. It's gut instinct, right? Based on the talent that's out there right now, I just don't think we're going to see our guy in the quarterback we draft this coming year, and we're going to have to do it again.
Yeah, I don't love any of these guys, to be blunt.
Yeah, I actually don't think that we should even draft a quarterback this year.
We have so many needs. Here, again, this is why I keep saying, as bad as Goff is, he's a third of the problem. The wide receivers and the play calling from Allen are the other two-thirds of the problem. Surround Goff with some guys that can catch the ball and do their part right, and just maybe you can then get your quarterback the next year. Because you got two first-round picks again. You've got the ammo to shoot your shot.
He's more than a third of the problem. This is the first time I ever disagree with you in our illustrious friendship. I think he's more than a third of the problem. He is terrible. Like, the Hockenson touchdown. Like, if he just makes the plays that are there, these games are different. But he doesn't even do that. So I understand, we need better receivers. Yeah, we need better scheme on offense. I think the defensive scheme is really good because they should have boat raced us in the first half. But considering, like, I thought Jerry Jacobs, he did a good job. He gave up two big ones. But, I mean, you know, he did a good job considering, like, the position they put him in didn't expose him that much. But I mean, I do think he's more than a third of the problem. It's just like if he makes the simple plays, it's a different game. But he just does not. He consistently does not, and that's a problem. So even if we don't draft a quarterback next year, we can bring in a better bridge quarterback than him. You know.
Here's what the counter I'd offer to that, because I don't like. I understand what you're saying, but like even the best quarterbacks, frankly, fuck up 30% of the time. You know what I mean? Like they just do.
Yeah, sure.
Blew the throw 30% of his throws, best ever. You know what I mean? But the thing is, like, even if Goff does everything perfectly, like a lot of the time right now, there's just nothing there. You know what I mean? Like there is no play to make. And like that's a terrible situation to put that guy in, particularly because also the blocking is garbage right now. Like complete and total just tragedy level terrible blocking coming from our offensive line because of all the injuries. Like it just it's the perfect storm of like there's nobody can be successful with this.
It's an absolute tragedy what we got what was left after Patricia and Quinn. I mean, it's an absolute tragedy what this roster is like. I mean, the last kick in the nuts that they left us with was the departure of Matthew Stafford, right? I mean, not only do we have an empty roster, but now we didn't have a quarterback, and we're starting like an expansion team. Actually, expansion teams get better deals with the players they have on their roster to
yes,
start with than the Lions do.
Because so. They also get all the cap space.
Yeah. This
I would love to just get like... 15 years from now when there's no consequences because his career's already been over for a decade, I would love to be able to just go like, Mr. Quinn, what was the plan if you didn't get fired? Like, what were you going to do with that? Like,
what would they have done? I mean, this is probably a good kind of thought experiment. If they hadn't gotten fired, what would they have done with Matthew Stafford leaving? Probably what the Texans did with Watson, right? Tell him, no, you're not leaving, and gotten in that big fight. And because that's the kind of dopes they are, right? I mean, can you imagine the crap show that Detroit would be right now?
Oh, that's the one thing we can take out of this is at least right now, like the players who are here, anyone who asks them, they're just speaking glowingly about Dan Campbell and the environment that there is here right now. So like the team's not good, but that would be the team isn't good, and also this is a terrible place to be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Whereas at least, like you said earlier, if you're looking for a good environment to be in as far as your workplace goes, at least this is that right now.
And with all the Patriots knuckleheads that are out there, you may be pushing players who are looking exactly for a place like this. So that might give you some hope for free agency, I guess. But, yeah, no, this was a terrible showing out there. I'm
just embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah, I just saw a tweet from Risden go by. He said, was not expecting the Browns to be worse than the Lions today, but here we are. Still early. So that makes me feel a little better.
Did he watch the Lions game? It's like, I don't think I've seen a professional football team be worse than the Lions were today.
Yeah, I go where you talked about the Bengals offense should have bow raced us. You know, that's really a good point about the defense. You know, hats off to him, Q, for how well they played, for being on the field, you know, for 59 of the 60 minutes of this game.
They got
just hosed by the offense.
Yeah, I didn't see the time of possession, but I know it was terribly slanted like the other way. But I don't know, man. It's all good. It's a rebuild. I got to head to the airport, so I'll let you guys go.
All right.
See you in L.A., Chris.
Yeah, man, I can't wait.
What a
season. I can't wait.
So at jealous least, of you guys.
We can cheer for Stafford at least, right? We got that going.
Yeah. All right, y'all take care. See you next week, bro.
All right, cool. See you, bud.
All right.
But, oh, man. He always makes me feel so good.
Yeah.
Just about people.
Pleasant caller.
Trying to get this dang box score. God, I hate the internet.
It's not good. Like the top five Lions players in receptions were all under 10 yards per reception. You can't win that way. Like you cannot win a football game that way. It is not possible to win that game. You know what I mean? Particularly not when you're down. Like that's the thing too. That's when you should be taking the shots. That's when you should be airing it out, you know, and the yards per carry are even worse. I think Swift was at 1.8, and Williams was at 3.2 or 2.7 or something like that.
So here you go.
If I recall.
Time of possession. 36 minutes for the Bengals and 24 for the Lions.
I kind of thought it might be worse than
I did
that,
too.
But that is really bad.
Yeah. But here's a surprising one.
Well, I guess they quit trying at the end. Like, they put in their backups and we got some drives.
How many first downs? What's the difference in first downs between the Bengals and Lions?
I'm going to say 15.
Five. They got 20 first downs. We got 15.
Okay. Yeah. Garbage time. Yeah, it's the big balancer that didn't actually balance anything.
Nine penalties. Yeah. So there's the other part. I mean,
that would have been the worst thing. Like, if Goff had gotten that touchdown pass while Swift was trucking people at the end of that game just to try to get a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing. You look at that and you're like, that is a man I want on this team forever. Like, yeah. Until the day, like, let's pay him that second contract so that he's here when the wheels fall off. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because they'll fall off on the field.
All right, we got a caller. Like, caller, what's your name? How much do you had to drink?
Trip, and I'm currently on my third tequila soda.
All right. Ooh. Did you start after the game or during?
See, you were
a little bit of both, but now that the game's over, we're going to extend it probably a few more. I mean, the night's young. Am I right, Chris?
That's always a young night.
So, someone check on Riz, by the way. But appreciate you taking my call. For me, I don't really know what direction I want to go in here other than the fact that I really would recommend everyone listening to only listen to you guys and don't listen to your local Detroit sports radio talk, both 97.1 and Detroit Woodward Sports or whatever it is, because they're going to blame Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, especially when he's truly rebuilding the right way. And this is what that looks like when you have no talent and you really strip it down. But, I mean, you know, what do I know?
No, it's going to be a tough week on Detroit media. It absolutely is.
I was going to make the reference that even a broken clock is right twice a day, and this might be one of those times. But you're right. They're going to blame the wrong thing. They're going to talk about stupid things that are actually good as opposed to looking objectively, because that's not one of the Detroit radio media's strong points most of the time. Let's say, like, they decided their narrative before the season started, and they'll carry that forever.
Yep.
Probably 3 years after it's not valid anymore.
Speaking from experience, some of the dumbest people in the world are radio program directors, and they're the ones that hire these people. So there you go.
Oh, that's too funny. Well, I appreciate you guys taking my call. Hang up and keep watching. I will end on this. We're going to have a top five pick, and we're going to get a good player. And regardless of where the Rams are picking, we're going to get a good spot. So
yeah.
Appreciate you guys taking my call.
Thanks a lot, man. Really appreciate that.
That's the other thing, too, that like we can kind of look at as a bit of a positive, I guess, is like because there isn't the man at quarterback like there was last year, mm-hmm. as an example, like there was Trevor Lawrence and the field. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was debatable of which of the next guy was kind of thing. Like there isn't one of those this year. It's just the field. So if we have the third pick, we might still get a quarterback. You know, because like there's always the possibility that this does gel together. Maybe Terrell Williams comes back, and that is what the offense needs.
We're picking top two, though. We're picking top two.
No, absolutely.
I mean,
but we might not have to trade up from 2 to 1, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, because, and like, no one's going to jump up to the first overall pick because the team that has that is always stupid and asks an astronomical amount for it instead of taking an extra second and third round pick and calling it a day.
Right.
I was like, oh, we want 6 ones. When, like, okay, buddy, the eighth pick and a second usually will get you a better player than number one overall. And
I'll tell you, we've talked about Goff, how bad he looked. We've talked about Allen and how poor the play calling has been. He's called some great plays and then they couldn't execute, but he's called some terrible plays.
Well, the running game has been great overall,
but it's just this string where when this offense isn't working, it'll be a bad play call. It'll be then Goff. Then it'll be wide receivers. But there's one thing that we didn't talk about, and I want to go back to that very, very first drive. We should have had a first down on that first drive. But instead, we held, right? And, oh, God, there was another penalty. I forgot what it was. Two penalties on the first drive we wound up punting, right? That's the other thing. And I'm not out on Sewell. I think Sewell has a lot of growth. He's a young kid. He just turned 20. Rookie. He just turned old enough to drink, right? I mean, think about that. Now, of course, he's a Lion, so he should take advantage of that. But the thing is he's so young. He's got so much work. This year is going to be, you know, expectations are high because he's a first-round pick, but expectations are low for the team. So I think this is actually a good year for him to be bad and to be learning. And frankly, at this point, if Goff takes a couple extra hits, I'm not worried about it. But this is his chance to get better and to grow and to become a much better player. Yeah, yep. And so that's going to happen. But the penalties that these guys, I think that's the other quarter of how we've been kicking ourselves in the nuts, man.
Every time they make a play, it comes back.
Goff does bad. Oh, we made it. Goff did it. We made him play. He got it to wide receiver. And then we got a first down. Great. Oh, no, penalty. Oh, wait, no, the wide receiver ran the wrong route. Oh, look, we're throwing a bunch formation. Or we'll create a bunch of traffic, and we're going to give it to Hockenson and see if he can run through a whole bunch of traffic. No.
Yep.
Yeah, hey, the pass was good.
Coming out to go
Hockenson
for it.
Got it. Terrible play call. We're down at the end zone. What was it, 2 games ago in Chicago? Let's do 3 terribly designed run plays. Right, because we want to run the clock. No, this is it's like one of these things consistently is wrong, and it's again, I'm out on Goff. I'm completely out on Goff after that Swift play just locked. I'm done. There's no recovery for Goff for me at this point. There just isn't. But there's a whole lot more
approach, and we've seen.
Yeah, well, and that's what I kind of said. I was like, I've been waiting for the data, but this game, when He failed badly. There was all kinds of things failing around him. I don't throw this all on him. I just know for certain he's our bridge quarterback. He is not the quarterback of the future 100%.
It's difficult to see any other outcome right now. Yeah. You know, like things would have to change that don't look like there's any reason to expect them to. Mm-mm. You know, and like there's always surprises. You know, like I said, maybe Williams comes back and that's the spark plug. But like I don't see one guy really being that huge of a difference. Like this would be better with that guy in this offense. But like when he comes back, like, I mean, I had post-concussion syndrome that lasted for years. You know what I mean? Like that is a thing. And like he may never come back.
Yeah. No.
You know, and if he does, maybe he shouldn't. We don't know. But like it just, yeah, there's no rainbow. Like we're not even on a rainbow looking for a pot of gold here. Like there's no,
it's just rain
going through a tunnel with it. We can see a light at the end. You know what I mean? Like the tunnel caved in.
The only light is a lightning striking
right now.
Striking and taking people out and put them on IR.
The only happy thing to take away from this is that eventually we're all going to die.
The pain will go away.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm at with the Detroit Lions in 2021. If I hadn't made it absolutely painfully clear, like at some point, week 19 rolls around and I can stop caring about this.
Yeah. It's rough, man. I mean, coming in and firing up this studio, this is what 62 now losses that I've done shows for. It's
just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
Blah, 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 blah.
yeah.
All right, 248-782-8384, 248-782-8384. We'll take your phone calls. And as we do, Ash disappears. He's afraid. tell you what, Ash, why don't we have you your rap? You are back. Let's have you your rap. Oh, wait, let's get this rap here. Hey, caller, what's your name? How much you had a drink? He's gone.
Oh, call back. Please.
Oh man. Okay. Why don't you do your wrap on the day as we wait for if we get one more caller, we'll bring him in, or we'll wrap it up and call it.
All right. I usually try not to swear, but we're enough minutes in that it's not going to get demonetized. So here's my wrap. Everything is fucked and everybody sucks. I'll go a little deeper, I guess. here's the thing. There are problems that exist and we know that they exist, and it is the coaching staff's job to express those to the general manager. And then it is the general manager's job to find solutions for those problems. And right now, one of the problems is we do not have any receivers that can get open downfield, and we do not have a quarterback who can throw receivers open downfield Ergo, vis-a-vis, we cannot move the ball downfield. Teams know this at this point, and they are playing defenses that take advantage of the fact that they don't really have to cover anything past 20 yards. They just don't. Like, if there's a single high safety against the Detroit Lions, you're fine. You know, like, just straight up, you can do that. You can clog the middle. You can do anything. If, like, it might gash you a little bit in the running game, but a lot of defenses now are designed where that's exactly what they want you to do, because even if the running game is going super well and averaging 6 yards a play, passing game averages 7 on average. So, you know, that's where we're at. Like, they're just, there is no end in sight other than the end of this season, when everything hits reset and we get to do it all over again, and then we get to see what Brad Holmes has with more bullets in the gun.
Yep.
If that makes sense, because he didn't have any this year, even blanks. Before the IR issues, like when it was only 30% of the salary cap gone to dead cap. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's still 30% of the salary cap gone to dead cap because of a situation you inherited.
Yep.
This was never going to be good.
Color, we got you on. What's your name and how much have you had to drink?
Hey, Chris. Hey, Ash. How you doing?
Good, Jesse.
Great.
Hey.
I've just had a few. Hey. It's kind of a general thing, and I kind of wanted to be more specific, but I think it would take a long time. But I just want, what are you guys' best points or best positive points about the defense? I just want to leave on a positive point, make our days a little bit brighter.
Tracy Walker seems to be what we hoped he would be.
That taunting call was BS.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just got one more thing. I'll find something happy in a second, but one more thing I need to bitch about that I didn't get to. The first touchdown they scored, they took the snap after the clock was at zero. And we had Kyle for delay a game this game, right? Which is fine. That was real. But the fact that the clock was at zero when they snapped that first touchdown pass, I couldn't believe it, and I was cursing the Lions fans. I was like, why aren't you guys counting this down? This is it, right? They didn't call it before. They didn't call it on this touchdown. It's like, guys, they're doing it. They're testing you. The refs are testing you. How far can they push it in? And evidently, it's all the way to the balls. Yeah.
The concept
and the fans never listened to the podcast to do the countdown.
I know, it's because 2 weeks of away games, everyone forgot. Otherwise, it would have, you know, Lions fans are like, I've got Karsikovs or whatever that is. I drink, so I don't
form short-term memory anymore. One thing I thought about that, though, I think it's kind of hard because if you're trying to, like, make crowd noise when they're on offense or whatever and then do the countdown at the same time.
The countdown's good crowd
noise. How are you going to do that? Well, you'd have to have, like, half and half.
As silent as it was in there today. You would have gotten the people counting down. You know what I mean? I think, and that can be the crowd noise. I mean, think about it. Crowd noise is like, they can't hear themselves. But if you've got that cadence of noise going, right, of everybody together, it's kind of like a drum beat, you know? That's its own kind of going to mess them up. So
I think you need playoff atmosphere to achieve that, though. And this ain't that.
Last time the last time. Was it this? I think. No, it was. Oh, well, I'm going to say it. I'm probably wrong. There may be one time. The last time the Lions or the Bengals lost at the Lions home field was Super Bowl 16.
Ooh.
That sounds about accurate. They won the last 7 now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, we had the series tied at 3-3, and then we just slipped.
We've only beat them 9 years. We've only beat them 3 times in 12 meetings.
Yep. But it was 3-3 at a point.
At some point, it was 2-2.
Was it?
Yeah, it was 2-2. Never made it to 3-3. Oh, man. Jesse, let's see. Positive, huh? You looking for positive?
Yeah, kind of. Little.
Okay.
Jerry Jacobs.
Anzalone.
Jerry Jacobs.
Are you kidding me? They put him on. Okay. We shut down their wide receiver for the most part on the Bengals. They're number one. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. That's pretty impressive to have an undrafted rookie be put on him. That's insane.
Yeah.
I'm not saying completely.
No.
But
no,
obviously he made his mistakes, but goodness, I mean, like,
reasonably hope.
This is Jerry Jacobs. Well, it's going to be the craziest story.
And as much as they had to play defense, the amount of time to sit there and have him just, can you imagine just running up and down the field, chasing people all day long for what, 50 minutes out of the first one? I mean, like, that's a lot of time.
Yeah. You're absolutely
right. That's insane. Like, to have to do that, you're like, okay, I just came in here into the game. Like, I was on the practice squad or, you know, I mean, we're running second, third stringers out there. That's insane.
36 minutes.
So I give the defense a little bit of props.
I absolutely will. 36 minutes. I mean, at least in hockey, they shift you out, right? He had to do that over and over and over. And I will say, look, Jerry Jacobs is such a great story.
And some of them are smaller. I mean, there's some of those. I mean, we draft them at the end of the day. That's probably why they went later or got undrafted and other reasons, obviously, with Jerry Jacobs. But, you know, they're a little bit smaller, too. You've got these little bit smaller guys. And they're on 6'4", 6'5", and they're... I remember Daryl Johnston saying the size of the receivers. I'm like, well, they had a game plan.
Yeah.
6'4", 6'5", 6'4", 6'3". I'm like, holy crap. And we've got 5'9", 5'8", 5'10". Oh, boy. Well, this is going to be an issue.
The 2011 Lions offense, right? A whole bunch of guys over 6'4". And it worked out quite well.
Yep. I think Jerry Jacobs, I think the story with him is absolutely fabulous. I mean, look, so we get him in, he becomes, you know, part of the show. We do our ongoing stuff with him, and he winds up getting the shot, and he winds up showing how much he has in the tank, just how good of a player he is, right? Again, if you guys haven't seen, go back to those old shows and see the Jerry Jacobs interviews. You'll have so much respect for this guy. But then the fact that, you know, we start talking about, look, the unique opportunity the Lions have, and this is, I think, ongoing, and you're right, this is a great positive in Jerry, to put people like Jerry on the field to get real game time, live fire exercise snaps against people who do things with ill intent toward your team, and to see what you really have. Jerry Jacobs is a guy that's going to spend some time playing on this team. He's going to be a player on this team, and he's going to make the roster ongoing. There's a guy that we don't have to worry about as far as paying a ton of money, as far as anything else. We don't have to worry about him or that position where, you know, Jeff, we lost Jeff Okuda, right? That's a big problem. You lose your number one cornerback. Well, you know what? We've got Oruwariye. We've got Jacobs. We need an upgrade, I think, but we've definitely got depth there. We are definitely not as nearly
pulling. That's exactly my thought.
Yep.
You can hope this guy becomes a star. But at the very worst, though, if he's not a star, he's a really, really good depth guy that we could probably sign for a decent price. This is your foundation right now.
Yep.
These kids are, and they're young, and we have a young team. They're building confidence. They're trying to, you know, that's extremely, when you get beat a million times throughout a game, you're like, oh my God, like I thought I did everything right. Like what went wrong? And then you have to go back to film, back to film, back and perfect it over and over. They're not used to, you know, I mean, this is obviously, you know, top. This is the top. This is the top when you go to football. So
and Julian
the best
Okora,
of the best.
As Jiggly
Scrub, you have to do it perfect.
Jiggly Scrub is talking about Julian Okora. He's starting to step up. We're starting to see some stuff out of him. It's like, holy cow. At the beginning of the year.
Oh my gosh, that was awesome.
He's a healthy scratch.
Fourth on the depth chart. At best. Yeah. And then he comes in today and has himself. Like, you're asking, why is this guy not on the field?
Yeah.
And a huge advantage that we've got his brother locked up and him. Mm-hmm. We could sign Julian for a lot longer contract also, just because of we're keeping the brothers together. If I was playing with my brother, I'd be working my butt off because I'd be like, heck yeah, I get to play with my brother and do professional football and make millions. Yeah, let's do that.
That is the reason Romeo Okwara is still hanging around the team, is because his brother is there. And if his brother couldn't get on the field, that's a very, like, he wouldn't be here next year, bluntly. Like, if he spent this entire season
I thought the same thing
and couldn't beat out anybody, then it doesn't matter that he's the big free agent we signed's brother at that point, right? Like, that's just a guy who can't play. So, like, that's...
Yeah, and wasn't it Dan Campbell that mentioned that he didn't want to be away? Yeah.
Like it just... It's, like, all of it is coming together in a nice way in that regard, because, if next year's edge players, because I gotta say, I don't think Trey Flowers has any hope in hell of being on this team in 2022.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't make sense to have that guy here. Like, he is not going to be happy playing for this team forever. And by the time they're good, he definitely won't be here. Like, there is, you cannot justify 2023. Like, you could justify 2022 if none of the other edge players on this roster stepped up. Because, like, you got to play something.
And this defense is going to need more speed, and they know that, and they're trying to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then I'm all for that. When they went to the slow, sluggish players, I was a little bit hesitant. I wanted speed. I mean, we saw what the new NFL is going to. It was speed. All of, you need speed on the defense. You need people to fly around, go vertical.
And when one team wasn't going that way in New England, it worked. Because one team can buck the trend and get all of the good players nobody else wants. But then when it's five teams trying to do that, that's not that anymore. It's the same way with the Tampa 2 back in the day. Mm-hmm. You know, like nobody
that's
wants these
point.
Big corners
yeah.
that can't run with guys that just maul guys at the line of scrimmage.
Oh my gosh, Rod Marinelli.
Half the league is running.
I remember.
Defense, including us. We had the third best Tampa 2 defense in our own effing division at one point. 2008. That's why we lost every game, is because they played our exact base defense in practice, and we never called anything but the base defense.
Yeah,
and right. we didn't have good players. Like a perfect storm. But regardless, like this, none of the things that are happening right now are that. And my big concern on offense is that that's what I'm seeing, is they just keep doing the same things that aren't working and not really coming out with any new stuff.
And yeah,
that's how you continue to fail. You know what I mean? But, like, we're being positive. Charles Harris.
Yeah.
Right. Like, he was a good pickup.
Another one. Another you know what I mean? Another guy in another yeah. position that we're not going to have to fill, right? And
exactly.
With all these injuries.
That's why I'm saying you take more shots on those first-round picks that aren't working out somewhere else. You know what I mean? Like, there's guys who've been picked in the first round in the last 3 years that we could probably pick up for sevenths right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that are just straight up not working out, and the team just wants to get out of that guaranteed first-round pick contract right now. You know, like there are dudes that
were
available that like maybe it works. You know what I mean? Like, but
true.
Let's get them at a spot.
Maybe we end up picking up a few players.
And if you think about this, if we were still with, you know, Patricia and Quinn, we would be continuing to downgrade at all of these positions with veterans, right? I mean, that's what got us here.
At the deadline right now.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. This, I mean,
but then we'd also sell somebody.
I mean, we really bottomed out on this thing. And,
Taylor Decker.
This is what austerity looks like. This is really what austerity looks like. We're not going to win a lot of games. We may well have the first overall pick. We're going to be one or two. That's for sure. Urban Meyer is on the rise right now. We'll see how that goes. We'll see what happens in London when the team leaves and he's still behind. But this is the long term plan is where it's at with this team. It's not happening this year, and
no.
It's going
to
be.
When I say I want them to make moves, that's not even me saying, like, I think they could still win five games this year. Like, right. I don't think that happens. You know what I mean? It's they need to still be able to sell hope to the guys that are here for the rest of this season.
Our plan.
That's
our plan.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Like, they have to, these guys have to know, like, okay, we are going to give you a chance to be better than this.
Yep.
I'm just not seeing it right now.
Yep. All right, Jesse, we're going to let you go, man. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Hey, can I say one last thought?
No. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I say one last thought?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so one last thought was that I don't think that next year, though, or even the years coming, as long as we have this coaching staff and Dan, I think we're going to have a really good chance of signing some really good free agents, because they're going to want to work for this coach, because this coaching staff, he's really respected around our head coach, right? Really respected around the league, and a lot of the coaches on our staff are respected around the league.
Yep.
I think when it comes to signing players, we're going to have no problem, and I'll leave you with that.
All right. Thank you, my man.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye.
All right.
I will agree with you one season after the upswing starts, but not next year. Like, that's like, if next year they come out and they win six, the year after that will be the year that they will not have trouble getting free agents.
I think,
you know what I mean?
I think the free agents they'll get are the guys that are in a bad situation, that don't like who that are working for Matt Patricia. Those are guys that'll want to come here and build something. And I think they'll see, depending, I think our best free agency period will probably be after the draft, unfortunately. That kind of second free agency, because players will see what they're doing and what they're building. Wave. Yeah, yeah.
Where he looked at that and went, yeah, I think I can make that team.
Yeah, well, no, but I'm thinking guys that, you know, maybe even, you know, some better players that are holding for the right kind of fit to see what this team is doing, the direction they're going, or maybe they can sell them early on what's going on. We'll see how that plays out. But Thunder C. Smith, I love your name. I would say it, but we get demonetized if you use the C word. So there's absolutely no way this team wins more than one game this year, and that's stretching it. I will say that you're potentially correct, but I think there's four games that present
goals they've already won two. Gust of wind, yeah. Two victories.
It's hard to get a gust of wind at Ford Field, so maybe one. But there's four games to look at going forward.
I don't know. Tony was talking about wind chills at the Metrodome, right?
Right. It's Tony, right? four games to watch. Four games to watch this year for potential. The Eagles game at home. The Steelers game, that's at Heinz Park, whatever the heck. I don't know, Heinz Ketchup.
It's Heinz Field.
It's in Pittsburgh. So they're over there for that one. Probably not as much, but the Steelers aren't a great team, but there's an opportunity there. And then we got the Bears and Vikings at home again. And I don't think the Bears are as good as they looked against the Lions the first time. So it's a divisional game. Those are always something. And then we have the Vikings at home as well. And we just lost to them on the road. So, look, I don't think we win all four. I don't think we lose all four. Either one is actually possible. But those are the four games that if you're thinking the Lions are going to win, you probably want to look at one of those to see where it's at.
Of all six games, there has been one where the Lions looked like a team that might go 0-17. And I'm going to be real blunt when I say this. Week one, the Green Bay Packers looked like a team that might go 0-17. Every team has bad games. Yep. This is what this Lions team looks like when they have a bad game. Yep. You know, we've seen what they look like when they have a good game twice, but even those weren't their best games on both sides of the ball. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, we saw the defense step up a couple times and the offense just disappeared. So that's the thing, is what the defense does doesn't matter if the offense can't score 20 points. You know,
and it's inevitable.
That is where we're at right now.
It's inevitable that they will put both sides of the ball together in a game. It just is. Now, is it when we play the Cardinals or the Packers? Well, that stinks. Because might not be enough, right? But those other teams, if we can do it, if we can put it together, and you don't even have to put it together all the way for those four games in order to be able to eke out a win. So,
no, you just have to have a good day when someone else is having a bad day and you're going to win that game, because this is not a team that is full of players who should not be in the NFL. You know what I mean? I said something similar to that about our wide receiver crew earlier, but our wide receiver five is probably good enough to be a wide receiver five. It's just that our wide receiver two is probably good enough to be a wide receiver five.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, but even with that said, if we're looking for another positive, we have depth. We don't have starters.
Yep.
You know what I mean? We don't have to backfill the entire roster. They could trade away every pick after round four next year.
This is the opposite of the Mayhew era.
We have those guys. It is the literal exact opposite. But we just need, if you have to move up two spots in the second, you got to throw away a seventh round pick. Okay.
And it was funny because I kind of saw the plan early with Quinn to build that depth and get depth of players that we didn't have. But the problem
was there.
Yeah. We kept selling the starters and building depth. And that isn't the way to build a football team.
Yep. And the free agents we would sign would be guys like John Batamosi level. Yeah. You know, I know that was a Mayhew guy, but same idea, right? Right. We would just bring in this $2.5 million guy who's here to play special teams and be our 17th cornerback. Why is that not an undrafted free agent playing that position? Bring him in, tell him if you are going to make this team, it is as this, you need to study it. You're some kind of freak athlete. Go be the best at that you can be, you know, and bring in 10 of those. Yep. And you're probably going to get one that's as good as the guy you're paying $2.5 million.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, we keep talking about Quintricia and
they touched us.
I'm starting to get over it.
Right, you know, in the fandom. I'm telling you, this is, we're paying the price for their regime, and it still carries on.
That's the thing I'm looking forward to, is not having to talk about them anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because like, that is why we are where we are. Like, you think Brad Holmes wanted this? You think this is his dream team that he's built?
Yeah.
No, this is the best he could get with what he had, because every free agent this offseason, like, people dog him for not signing wide receivers, but why would the wide receivers want to come here?
Yeah.
If Luke, they had any other options.
Luke, I'm not seeing it ring at all, man. Give it a go. I'm happy to answer. I'm answering them all when the line is empty. So, all right. Let's see. I'll get my wrap here. We got the Jared Goff. I'm out. I'm out. I'm irreparably out. I mean, nothing's irreparable.
It's always repairable.
Boy,
yeah, exactly.
Boy, it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot.
Right now you're saying, like, I don't think there's any water in this desert.
Right. It may, as good as he could potentially play, it may still require him releasing pictures of his girlfriend on top of it to win me back. That's how bad this is. This is bad shape stuff, man. I am just today was enough data for me to be out on Goff. But he is not the only problem. Again, just look at the first drive, the penalties that we got that prevented us from getting a first down on a beautiful pass from Jared Goff to TJ Hockenson. Perfect pass. Has he made bad passes? Yeah, he's made plenty of them. That's just the way it is. The wide receivers, he had 8 seconds to throw the ball. Why didn't he throw the ball? Because beyond 8 yards, no one can be open. No one can get open, period. The wide receivers cannot get open downfield. And Jared Goff is not Matthew Stafford. Everybody's used to Matthew Stafford throwing the ball in these tight little windows. He can't do that. And if you hate Goff now, you're really going to hate him if he tries throwing into those kind of windows, because those balls will be picked every single time.
Every time. Even that throw to Cephas. If he throws that ball the way he has to throw that ball to complete that pass, the safety gets there and picks that off.
Yep.
I will go to the grave screaming about that one. Because, yes, a quarterback can make that throw. Jared Goff cannot make that throw.
Yep.
And that's a problem. That is a problem in and of itself. Like, that is something that is a limiting factor.
Yep. So we've got problems at wide receiver. They can't get open. That's why we're throwing behind the sticks all the time. Because people cannot get open beyond 8 yards downfield. The play calls,
like a 1-6-1, like, oh, one deep safety, six guys at basically the sticks.
Yep.
So the only thing that's there is under six guys. So they catch the ball. There are four guys there to tackle him before he gets to the sticks every single time. And that's the Detroit Lions passing offense right now.
That's
the only thing that's ever going to be open. They take it. It doesn't work.
And I see Luke, and he's going to look at the whole context here. Do they get open sometimes? Sure. Sometimes they do, except the problem is Sewell winds up letting a guy blast past him, right? Or
Jared Goff has to scramble, because if Jared Goff doesn't have to scramble, maybe he does see the guy over on the right side, but he has to vacate the premises. He goes left. The play is on the right.
Or he misses the throw. But you can't say the wide receivers are open, because very, very often they are not. And there's a whole series of things that have to happen.
The writers constantly.
Yeah. There's a whole series of things that have to happen for a quarterback to get the ball to, like, everybody. Oh God, who was it? Was it you, Ash, that broke down the Amon-Ra play? This is my favorite one. It's exactly the best example of everyone. Cephas is open. Cephas is open over the middle. He wasn't
I'm the
open.
Only person going against that narrative.
he wasn't open. He didn't even turn for the ball. By the time he turned looking for the ball, Goff was on his ass.
Goff throws that ball, Cephas turns and gets the ball in his face.
Yeah, he wasn't open.
That's the point. He's ready to catch that.
Yeah.
It's not Madden where you just hit the button and his head immediately turns. You know, like, that's just not we've seen Cephas take a ball off the dome when somebody threw it too early.
These screenshots of guys being open, right, is lacking context. And that's
they also edited
problem.
Out the, like, this whole chunk of the screen. About that much of the frame,
right?
Which had a safety in it, to be perfectly blunt.
Yeah,
like, he wasn't going to get there for a quick throw, you know what I mean? But he throws a little loft out there, and that's a pick. Mm-hmm. It's 100% an interception.
Yeah. And
but I didn't want to retweet the guy and basically be like, so why did you cut off that half, that chunk of the screen?
Yep. So like and so Luke, I'll tell you, like, today's a great example. Swift was wide open. They say it would have been a touchdown. I think that the people may have had angles to get to Swift before he made it, but it was a huge chunk play at minimum, right? It was a giant play no matter what. Goff, again, we talked about it earlier. Three wide receivers on the right, one wide receiver on the left. Swift motions to the right to bunch it to four. They all go out. Swift is wide open. Goff feels some pressure. Doesn't see the open Swift, but the pressure comes around the time Swift is open. So, okay, I can feel that a little bit. We just got to get... You got to move a little bit and get some space to where we can throw the ball. Fine. But he rolled left. He rolled left to where one receiver was, where, rather than where all his targets were. The whole idea of having four receivers is what? Ash, if you were to put four receivers on one side of the field, what would you expect them to do for each other?
Well, I would expect them to run patterns that run interference with various concepts of coverage so that they're, regardless of what the coverage is called, one of them is likely to pop open.
Exactly. And he went to where they weren't. And that was terrible decision making on his part. This is all,
like, unless you got four guys running crossing routes, that's not how that's supposed to go. And if you're doing that, that's even worse.
Yeah, yeah. And the play calls. I mean, it's just across the board bad. You have no talent wide receiver, you have low talent at quarterback. You have bad play calls.
You did have, you have on your penalties. Offensive line are injured.
Yeah, you have guys covering up the wrong. I mean, this is simple. That was what the other play was in the first drive. Illegal formation. You covered up the.
Yeah.
It's always something. Always someone is screwing up, and that's what's driving me bonkers with this team. All right, Will Harris experiment.
If you bring in a new guy, that's probably even going to get worse.
Yeah.
You know, like, new guys don't play better, or they don't play smarter right away.
Yep. Oh man. The quarterback has to be able to anticipate them being open. He had 8 seconds and none of them were open. And that's one play. I get it. Other times he's running around. There's a lot of things that happen each play. Don H, can we end the Will Harris experiment now? I don't know if we can do it now, but it's definitely probably on the front burner for next year. I think the safety is going to be
category of, like, who do you play? Because they all suck.
Yep.
Like, we have Tracy Walker and nothing. Can we just invent a defense where we just play nothing but corners?
Yeah. the quarter.
We don't have good corners either.
No, it's a tough time. It's a tough time to be a Lions fan, but we have depth. Next year, we'll start drafting starters. And I think next year, I mean, you're looking ahead, right? Next year's going to be tough, too. It's a 5 or 6 win year for this team, all heading in the right direction, right? Hopefully.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a thing I heard in a book called Atomic Habits, is you need to be less concerned about where you are than you are about where you're going.
Yep.
And I think that is the mindset that a Lions fan needs to take this year to not be just perpetually furious, because this is going to suck. Mm-hmm. Like, we are going to be bad. We knew this going into the year, but actually living it is something different. You know what I mean? Because we knew it on an intellectual level. Yeah. Now we get to know it on an emotional level and just be it. You know what I mean? Like, when I go to work tomorrow, someone's going to be like, oh man, sure sucked yesterday, didn't they? And I'm going to be like, yes, they did.
Yeah. But tomorrow,
I get to eat that.
This is the situation. You overspent your credit cards. You're barely staying afloat, paying the bills. You just can't go get the extra coffee. You can't go out to eat. You're living the austere lifestyle. Yep. And it's
no avocado toast for us.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it sucks. It's misery to get through it. But when you get to the other side, you've grown, you're better, you're stronger. And life, you appreciate things on the other side a lot more. So that's where you're at. That's where this team is, and that's what we're doing. It's definitely going to be a thing where you shake out the big fans, the true fans. I think stadium is going to be tough to fill with Lions fans this year, potentially next year. I think every year there's people that fly in with tons of hype and excitement, right? And And about this time is when the rubber meets the road and so many shake out. But you've got about a 2-year shakeout going before the bandwagon hops up again and people start.
Oh, yeah. The Fairweather fans are not coming back for quite some time.
Yeah. I predict in 2023 there will be an influx of new Lions podcasts ready to.
Yep. And they'll last until week 6. Mm-hmm. The first time it's not fun to do it.
Yeah. Yep. 62 losses, post-game losses right here, baby. All right. With that, we're going to call it a show. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Really appreciate it. And Luke, man, I didn't see any calls come in. I would have answered them. Definitely happy to be on the show. I know you talked to Casey. He was trying to put something together, and it fell through. Happy to get together and do a collab or something, man. Love the chat. It'd be awesome. With that, though, we're going to call it a show. Thank you. Don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Get access to the Slack, the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet. I'm telling you, these guys are it's how I found Ash. Well, no, that's not how I found him, but I found him on the side of the road with a box of kittens. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast, DET Lions Podcast, and at Mr. Tweetson. One of us will be pants free, guaranteed. Also, call us via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us the Lions Line at 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. Be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Subscribe to the podcast so we can pop it up in all your boxes automatically. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no problems. Oh, yeah, no hot tubs, no problems. Because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
You've had enough of that shit.